Okay, we're going to get started. I want to welcome everybody that's watching online tonight to Waldo Baptist Church, our Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting. It's good to be in the Lord's house with you. And we're going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. If you're watching online, you can turn there in your Bibles. And folks here in the auditorium can as well. I taught last Sunday on the rapture and the church being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we taught in 1 Thessalonians and also in 2 Thessalonians. And this evening we're going to be following that up with following that same message as we go on and we get into the scriptures tonight. And I have a lot of scriptures to share with you this evening. And so we'll read from chapter 5 and we'll begin in the first verse of chapter 5. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. From what Paul has already said here in these first two verses of Scripture, it appears likely that he had already taught them concerning the rapture and the coming of the Lord from the Scriptures that we read here in verse 1 and 2 in the 5th chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians. So he was satisfied in his mind that they already knew. In fact, we probably figure that one of the reasons he wrote this letter to them was they were very upset about two things, about their loved ones that had passed away, and then they were upset because Paul had evidently talked to them and told them about the rapture happening and then the tribulation period. And so they were being severely persecuted at that time. And in their own minds, they thought, well, did we miss the rapture and now we're in the tribulation? And so they had a lot of questions about that too. But he had already taught them concerning that because he says in chapter 5, now brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And when he mentioned the thief in the night, we know that he had taught them that the rapture, the catching up of the church to be with the Lord, was a signless event. In other words, there was no predictatory sign that would happen concerning the rapture. It would just happen. And so they, in their own minds, they were worried that it had happened. They had missed it, and now they were in the tribulation. And so they, as he writes to them, this is what he is talking about when he writes to them concerning this. And he goes on in talking about that on verse 3, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pangs on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Not we, but they will not escape. This is what he's talking about here. I'm going to read on down the scripture, and then we're going to come back and look at some other scriptures. But you, brothers, as he writes to them, you're not in darkness. You're not in darkness. So that this day should surprise you like a thief. In other words, they have knowledge. They understand. Paul had already taught them about this. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Verse 6, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. Verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us, this is the third let us, be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Verse 9, very important verse. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Now, you notice this is the same thing that he said back in chapter 4 and verse 18. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So he's wrote this letter to them to help comfort them and to bring them to a place where of understanding where they realize that in prophecy, the rapture hasn't happened yet, that this is something that will happen in the future that they have been taught about. And he says to them, you're not in darkness, you're in light. Now, we find as we look at these scriptures down through here, there is a contrast. He talks about we, he talks about they, he talks about light, and he talks about darkness. When he talks about light and we, he's talking about those who've been saved, who are part of the church, who've been born again. When he talks about they are those in darkness, he's talking about the lost that never have been saved. And so that's what we see when we look at the scriptures here. And there are many scriptures in the Bible that talk about the same thing when we think about the saved and the lost. I'm going to the book of Luke chapter 1. The book of Luke chapter 1 and verse 76. Luke chapter 1 verse 76. And it says, and you, my child, I'll wait a moment so everybody can get there. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. Who is this? This is John the Baptist he's talking about here. And that's what he's talking about. Verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. He could as well put S-O-N as he did S-U-N. The rising sun will come to us from heaven. What does he say? He's talking about light. Okay, what does he say? Verse 79. To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the path of peace. And so this is what he's talking about here. There is a great light that's coming. That's what he's saying. And John the Baptist will bear witness to that light that is coming. For the sun will rise, he said. The sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. So that's the first scripture that we look at, that we see, that is talking about this. And if you think about in the book of Acts, we've got Paul on the road to Damascus, and I'm going to go there, chapter 26 in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 26, verse 17. We'll follow this theme for a while so I can show you that it's not just mentioned here in Thessalonians, but it's all throughout Scripture. Verse 17 of the 26th chapter. Let's see, here I am. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And turn them from his darkness to light. This is the mission he's sending Paul on, who was Saul, who was saved on the road to Damascus. This is a red letter edition. If you've got it, this is Jesus speaking. And he said, I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. So when you were saved, what we see is God has called you by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be in darkness? Well, it means that you were an unbeliever. It means that you had not the knowledge that you needed to accept Christ, and you never would have unless God did what? What does darkness do? Darkness hides us from the truth. Darkness hides us from our circumstances. It hides us from what we need to see. So what does light do? Light reveals to us who we are, where we are, and what our circumstances are. And that's what happened when you were convicted of your sin before you were saved. When conviction comes, it's God shining His light on your sin, and you recognize it and you see it as you never have for the first time in your life. It is His light shining into the darkness. And in the book of 1 John, chapter 1 and verse 5, chapter 1 and verse 5 of 1 John, this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. In Him there is no darkness at all. And then look at verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, if we claim that we are saved to have fellowship with Him, yet we continue to walk in the darkness, what, we lie and do not live by the truth. Okay? So if we claim that we've been saved, if we claim that we've been born again, but our walk of life is continually in sin and in the darkness, then we lie and we're not telling the truth. Notice what he says next as you look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with what? One another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us or purifies us from all sin. And that verb there means goes on cleansing us from all sin. And so these are some of the scriptures that we look at as we see what is going on here that He is differentiating to as we look at the scriptures here. Now I'm going to go through my notes here. Because if I don't, I'll miss something. And this is one I really like. It's over the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, chapter 3. So you can go to Matthew and then just go back one book and you'll be in Malachi. And it's in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. All right, now what do we have here? We have a discussion going on between the prophet Malachi and the Lord concerning the people of Israel. And we have this conversation going back and forth. And we have a group of the people there that are true believers. They're called here those who feared the Lord. And then so many that are in Judaism that are unbelievers. And God, throughout the book of Malachi, is telling the prophet Malachi the sins that he sees going on in Israel and the judgment that he's going to bring. And so this is a book about recognizing the people's sin and the judgment that is to come. And so when you come to verse 16 of the third chapter, it says, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. And a scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. Okay, so what is the scripture saying here? What is Malachi saying? He is saying, You don't need to worry about the judgment that is to come because he's been talking about the tribulation. He's been talking about the wrath of God. He's been talking about judgment. And so what he's saying here, your name is written down already. It's called here the Book of Remembrance. In Revelation, it's called the Book of Life. And he's saying your name is already written down. And they were in fear because of what he had been talking about in the wrath that is to come. Okay. And he says a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord that honored his name. Notice what it says, verse 17. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession. Okay. Now that's the rapture. In the day when I make up my treasured possession. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament believers, and he's talking about the church. My treasured possession. Believers, born again believers. Whether they are Old or New Testament, but especially the church. I will spare them just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. Okay, so what is he saying? He's saying when I get ready to bring out my wrath and tribulation on the earth, I will spare them. This is what he's saying. He says what? What's he going to spare? His treasured possession. That's what he's going to spare. Okay, what he said, and you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. He said, you won't have any trouble telling who's the righteous and who's the wicked in that day. Between those who serve God and those who do not. So here we have another scripture as we look at that. And you say, well, why are you showing me all these scriptures? Because I think these scriptures that are showing you are pretty good proof of a pre-tribulation rapture. Of a pre-tribulation rapture. And I'll be giving you some other scriptures as we go through this. But this is what we see when we look at the scriptures and we look at that. And so now I'm going back to the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. All right, now then, how do we, so he makes a, on one side he has light, on one side he has darkness. We know that the light is the believers. The darkness is those who are unsaved. So what is the distinctiveness, or how do you recognize between the two? How do you recognize those who are saved, who are the light, and those who are unsaved, who are in darkness? How do you recognize the difference between them? Well, first of all, because of the distinction of our nature. When you were saved, when you were born again, when you repented of your sin and you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you received a nature when you were born spiritually from above. You received a nature you never had before. I can identify with that completely. Before I was saved, I went to church every Sunday. I taught a Sunday school class. And I was custodian in the church, okay? This is before I was saved, all right? This is what I was doing. I went to church every Sunday. I taught a Sunday school class, and I was custodian in the church. That's why I said, just because a mouse gets in the cookie jar, that don't make him a cookie, okay? Because where I was. I didn't like going to church. I didn't enjoy teaching a Sunday school class. And I couldn't wait to get out of there. Did I know what the Bible said? Yes. Because I had been in church all my life. I knew the right things to say. I knew the right things to do. I knew how to cross all my T's and dot all my I's. I knew how to do all that stuff. I knew how to do it. But it didn't mean anything to me. The Bible was just a book, and going to church was just a job because I was a custodian in the church. I was the first one to get there and the last one to leave. So was I going to church? Yeah. Was I teaching a class? Yeah. Was I the first one in church, the last one to leave? Yeah. But that did not make me saved. Did I enjoy being there? No. Did I look forward to going? No. Did I love the Scriptures? No. Did I think I was going to heaven? Yeah, because at the age of 8 or 9 years old, the preacher had taken a bunch of us across to his study, and they had said, if you want to be saved, pray this prayer. I prayed a prayer just like everybody else. I looked at the boy next to me and I said, are you saved? He said, yeah. I said, I guess I am too. They baptized us the next Sunday and that was it. And so you can do all those things, that's what I'm saying, and still be in darkness. And still be in darkness. When I got saved that day at work at CTS Corporation in Paducah, Kentucky, everything changed. It was like a light went on in my brain. Of course, I ain't got much to work with there, but a light went on in my brain, and all of a sudden, I couldn't wait to get to church because I love going. I couldn't wait to study the Scriptures because they were alive to me. And I would have stayed there as long as I could because I was enjoying it very much. And the other thing that changed in my life, in a millisecond, was I love people I never loved before. I cared about people I never cared about before. So that's what it's talking about here. The new nature you receive. The new nature that you receive. And so you look at verse 4 and 5. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. What? You are the sons of the light. You're the sons of the light and the sons of the day. In other words, they've been enlightened. They are sons of God. The S-O-N has shone on them. And they are now, they are the family of believers because they're no longer in darkness. That's what it was like when I got saved. It was like I come out of darkness into light. And if you've heard my testimony before, I walked out on the back deck of that plant where I was working. And I looked up into the sky, and it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And I said, God, you've changed everything. But what had changed was me. And everything looked different from that time on than it ever had before, because now I had a nature, I was spiritually alive, where I was always in darkness and deadness before. That's what it's talking about here when it talks about being in light are in darkness when you see it. So the first thing that we see here is that how do you tell the elect, or how do you tell someone that's born again, someone that's in the light rather than someone that's in the darkness? It is by their very nature. It is by their very nature that they have since they've been born again. Since they've been born again. So that's the first thing we see. Second thing we see, look at verse 6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us what? Be alert and self-control. Let us be alert and self-control. Now he's not talking about our nature, he's talking about our behavior. He's talking about our behavior now. My behavior changed drastically when I was saved. Before I was saved, I was angry at the world and everything else. I would get mad and take my fist and knock a hole in the sheetrock in the house. And we'd hang something over it. I was angry about everything because life didn't make any sense to me. I thought, you just get up, eat breakfast, go to work, work all day, come home, eat supper, go to bed and sleep, get up the next day, eat breakfast, go to work, go back to bed, get up the next day, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, eat supper, go to bed. That's all it is to life. I thought, maybe this isn't very good terminology, but I felt like life sucked. That's just how I felt. I thought, is this all there is to it? But one millisecond after Christ changed my life, I knew what life was about. I knew what I had a purpose in life. Everything made sense after that. It's like nothing in life made sense before I was saved. But after I was saved, everything fit and everything made sense. It fit together and I understood everything for the first time. I mean, I went to college. I majored in chemistry and biology. I was taught by a Jewish rabbi. I've been through all kinds of training courses, everything else. Nothing made sense until I was saved. And when I was saved, everything made sense. It fit. It fit. So all this anger I had built up inside me because of where I was in the darkness and that I couldn't make everything fit in my life, I was angry all the time. And it wouldn't take anything to set me off. But once I was saved, I saw everything in a different light because of Christ. And what happened? I come out of the darkness into the light. And when I come to the light, guess what? Not only did it change my nature, it changed my behavior. It changed my behavior. Now I couldn't wait to get to church. Now I went back to college because God called me to preach, and I'm studying the Word of God and loving every minute of it and can't wait to learn something else. And so the difference that we look at in a by their fruit you shall know them. So it changes our nature. It changes our behavior that we have. Go back one. You're in 1 Thessalonians. Go back to Colossians. You just got to go back one book. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts, your affections, on things above. Well, that's where mine were now. Suddenly, everything's flip-flopped. Everything's changed. My affection was on the things of God, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the people of God. It says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds, your thinking, your mind on things above, not on earthly things. All of a sudden, instead of thinking all the time about material possessions and how I could get this and how I could get that and why didn't I have this and why didn't somebody do this, I'm thinking about what I do have in Christ. And so this is what happens. For you died. What does it mean, you died? When you were saved, you were identified with who? Christ. Well, what happened to Christ? He died on that cross. When you placed your faith in Christ, the Father placed you on that cross with Christ. You were identified with Christ. That's why he says here, you died. That's how come you're saved. You died in Christ. Remember when I preached Sunday morning and I said, everyone will pay for their sins one way or another? Well, your sins were paid for by Christ. So therefore, you do not have to pay for your sins, the penalty of your sins, because Christ did. You died. You were identified with Christ on the cross. That's what he's talking about. Well, what does he say? And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's where your life is now, with Christ in God. When Christ who... Now look at this, verse 4. When Christ who is your life appears... Okay, what's he talking about? The rapture. When he appears... It doesn't say when he comes to earth. It says when he appears. When Christ who is your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Then you also will appear with him in glory. That's what's going to happen at the rapture. I'm going to meet him in the air. I'll have a glorified body. If I've already passed away and my body's out here in the cemetery somewhere, it's going to be raised. My body's going to be raised. My spirit and soul will already be in heaven. My spirit and soul will be joined with my glorified body in Christ. And that's what it's talking about here. It's talking about the rapture. All right? So we can identify then someone who is born again, someone saved, by the change in their nature, by the change in their behavior, as we see it here in the Scriptures. Now, if I can ever get a page separated. Thank you, Lord. Now, in that same book of Colossians, look in verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12. Are you there yet? All right. Therefore, because of what he's already said up here, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Well, what do you do when you clothe yourself? You put them on. You put clothes on, right? I mean, this ain't brain surgery. When you clothe yourself, you put on clothes, right? He says, clothe yourself, put on what? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So you look at somebody that's truly been born again, been saved, what are you going to see in their life? You're going to see compassion. You're going to see kindness. You're going to see humility. You're going to see gentleness. And you're going to see patience. And that last one's real hard, isn't it? Patience. Verse 3, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So these are the things we see that he wants us to put on. Well, how do you do that? You do that because of your new nature. You've been born again spiritually. So now through the Holy Spirit and through the presence and the work of God and the Word of God, you put on compassion, you put on kindness, you put on humility, gentleness, and patience, and above everything else, you forgive one another and put on love. And so this is what he's talking about here when we look at the Scriptures over here in Thessalonians. How can we distinctify, if that's a word, the ones in darkness from the ones that's in light? This is what he's talking about here. All right. Now, there was a fellow named Archibald Alexander. He was a theologian, a really good theologian. And he wrote Marks of a Christian. What are the marks of a true Christian? And this is what he said. Number one is love. Somebody that's truly been born again will love. Well, what will they love? They will love the Lord. They will love the Lord. They'll love His Word. And they'll love one another. They'll love God's people. So somebody's truly been born again will love the Lord, love the Word, and love God's people. So he said that's the first mark you'll see is love in someone that's truly been born again. The second thing that he says you'll see is humility. You'll see humility. It's someone that's truly been born again is not going around blowing their own horn, boasting about how great they are. Because if they've truly been born again, they realize that they're absolutely nothing except who they are in Christ by the grace of God. And so there is a humility that comes with the understanding that we truly are lost sinners headed for hell, and the only reason we're not is because of Christ. Not because we were good, not because we were this or that. We certainly didn't earn it. We could not make it on our own. And so Christ did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And so we have a humility within us because we realize how we've been blessed and what Christ has done for us. So the first thing you'll see is love. The second thing you'll see is humility. Now, the third thing you'll see in somebody that's truly been born again is holiness. And again, we're talking about behavior. We're talking about looking at someone's behavior. We'll see holiness in their life. What is that life characterized? By righteousness. And when we say righteousness, we mean being right. And we're really talking about right thinking and right behavior. Right thinking and right behavior. Before I was saved, I sure didn't have right thinking, I'll tell you that. And because I didn't have right thinking, I didn't have right behavior. Because let me tell you something, when you're in darkness until you're saved, you don't think right. Some of us are kind of on the edge anyway. But when you're in darkness before you're saved, you can't think right because you don't have that you've not been born again spiritually from above. And so that was the third thing he saw was holiness in an individual's life that was born again. Okay? All right. Now then, that does not mean we're going to be perfect because there's none of us perfect. When we say holiness, it means that the pattern of our life will be to obtain holiness. In other words, what does that mean? It means that I have a desire in my heart since I've been saved to please the Lord. There is a desire within my heart since I've been saved to please God. That desire is in my heart. It wasn't there before. It is ever since the day I got saved. There is a desire in my heart to please the Lord. All right, now I'm going to Second Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And I'll get there quicker than you because I did have that one. I got a little pink marker. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1 and the 4th verse. Well, I'm going to begin in verse 3. Verse 3. You see, this is the problem with Scripture. It doesn't leave you any excuses. What I would like to say is, well, I'm doing the best I can. But that ain't true. I'm not yet doing the best I can. Because look at what the Scripture says here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need. Oh. Has given us for what? For life and godliness. There went my excuse. Well, what does that mean for me then? It means that there's a battle going on in my life every day between light and darkness. The darkness doesn't want me to move on from where I am in Christ and become more like Him in sanctification. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about temptation. I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about Satan. I'm talking about everything that bombards you every day. I'm talking about we're too tired to read the Bible. I'm talking about we don't have time for this. I'm talking about everything that the world throws at us that keeps us from going on up the spiritual ladder from where we are. And it's difficult. I'm going to tell you, it's difficult. It may be easy for you. It's not for me. It's difficult for me. Because Satan gives me an excuse every day why not to do what I know God wants me to do. So this is what he's talking about here. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. How? Through our knowledge of Him. Through our knowledge of Him, through the Scriptures, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, God has given me everything I need. Okay. Knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Though through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Oh, that power that He's given me, I can participate in the divine nature. Okay. And escape what? And escape the corruption in the world caused by what? Evil desires. Oh. You don't sit there and tell me you still don't have any evil desires. They'll hit you sometime, somewhere, someplace. Don't tell me that. You're getting ready to park at Walmart. And you got your spot picked out. You got it right there in front of you. And this man comes wheeling in there in a big old Jeep or something and goes, nah, and parks right in your spot. And what do you think right then? Well, I'd like to give him a... You know what I'm talking about. Huh? Are there some lady in line at the grocery or Walmart or Sam's or somewhere and you're in a hurry and she's checking out and she's got a card that won't work anywhere. And so she keeps talking to the checkout lady and sticking it in or swiping it down and the thing won't work and she keeps telling her lady your card won't work and she says, oh, I know it will. And there you stand and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. So what's going through your mind? Got to wipe that woman off the face of the earth. Can't believe this is happening to me. Look at this. Here I am. You know I'd get in this line. Goodness gracious. And God's saying, hey, you're trying to test your patience. You're not doing a very good job. Why does that happen? Because we still are in the flesh. That part of me is not redeemed yet. It will be when Christ comes back, but I got a part of me that's not redeemed yet. So I do have the flesh brings evil desires into my life each day. Don't act like it don't. And I've got to overcome that. And so he's telling me here that God has given me everything I need to overcome that if I'll just apply it to my own life. If I'll just apply it to my own life. And that's what he's talking about here. has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Okay. I don't see David up there. I was going to quit right here to have prayer meeting. But he's not up there to turn me off. Hi, y'all watching online. We'll keep going then. Okay. All right. Anybody got a question about what we looked at so far? Like a question.
You said how we're tempted. God, but Jesus was tempted too.
Yeah. Yeah. If we think we're above temptation, we're nuts. Yeah. Yeah. He was just better than we are. He was just better than we are. Christ was a whole lot better. Yeah, if you don't care. And 1 Thessalonians, back to 1 Thessalonians. Right.
I'm tempted. I don't answer with the word. There's a problem.
Yeah. That's why the more of the word you know, the better off you are. Because if you've got it here and here and you can recall it at the time you need it, that really helps you. And so that makes a huge difference. As
the breastplate, all of that comes into play.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. You got to put on the whole armor.